Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Yahoo News, The Lookout, recently ran a very helpful overview of the status of ultrasound laws in the United States and what grounds opponents would use should these laws eventually be heard by the justices on the Supreme Court. Before author Liz Goodwin does that, however, she discusses the latest round of ultrasound laws and the way opponents are contesting them. There are several kinds of ultrasound laws, which are classic informed consent laws because they empower a woman considering abortion with facts about the development of her unborn child and the opportunity to view a real-time ultrasound of the child in utero. That these ultrasound laws truly are information consent laws is a characterization which pro-abortionists refuse to acknowledge because this truth undercuts their assault on the laws. Goodwin thoughtfully explains how abortion advocates are taking a different route when challenging ultrasound laws. Rather than pretend these laws constitute an undue burden on a woman's right to an abortion, they adopt the position that was a key to the original Roe v. Wade decision, that these laws supposedly infringe on the abortionist's rights, in this instance, the abortionist's right to free speech. As National Right to Life's Director of State Legislation notes, this back-to-the-future approach is paternalism on steroids, made worse because these laws are not about the rights of so-called doctors, but of women to receive accurate and impartial information. Mary explained that the undue burden argument is a non-starter. The Supreme Court has often said, most specifically in its 1992 ruling in Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania v. Casey, that states have substantial latitude to regulate abortion by requiring the disclosure of truthful, non-misleading information, which would include ultrasounds. Alluding to Goodwin's article, Balch agreed that opponents are arguing that the laws are unconstitutional because they are supposedly compelled speech, which, as Goodwin points out, is an argument the Supreme Court has generally looked favorably upon. But as Mary notes, this is a classic example of misdirection. Forget everything about the rights of patients to informed consent. They are saying what really matters, what only matters, is that the abortionist on his own should be free to decide what the woman needs to know. Balch cited two other examples of where the courts have said that compelled speech is okay. Flight attendants are not free to decide whether to tell passengers of safety precautions. The passenger is free not to pay any attention. Likewise, the courts have upheld the right of the government to put graphic warning labels on packs of cigarettes, Balch said, to alert the public to the health risks of smoking. The smoker is free to ignore the warnings. In the same vein, in the abortion context, ultimately the woman makes the decision. But many women live to regret their abortions, which is one important reason why they have the right to hear about their unborn child. Goodwin explains that the Supreme Court will not often take up a case unless appeals courts split. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld Texas ultrasound law. A U.S. district judge blocked North Carolina's law from taking effect, a decision that is being appealed to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. If that appeals court agrees with the district judge, that could set the stage for the Supreme Court to address the laws. From her perspective, Mary said, "Obviously, we would want all the appeals courts to uphold the laws. But if the issue reaches the Supreme Court, I am confident these laws will survive the highest level of judicial scrutiny. Why? Because this is not a free speech issue, but one of informed consent. The abortionist's job is to provide accurate information, not make the decision for the mother."
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.